to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities.
And bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
The king of reggae, Bob Marley, One Love, and we will be back to you shortly. Don't go away. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Welcome to the Resettled Radio, brought to you live by ARCC on Planet FM. I'm your Oscar Luachot,
and Mesa.
Yep. This today, Saturday, December the 2nd. The time is flying so fast.
Especially
so,
when you're in Altria.
Yeah. Things are good, and only the time is our enemy now.
Yeah.
So life's so good. In this 1 hour, we will be talking about a lot of things. One of the things that we will be talking about is one of the heartbreaking news from Africa. The thing that we thought it is a thing of the past, but it's back now, strong on life, and we need to talk about it. It is something that cannot be ignored. The modern day is slavery. It's making rounds now all over the world. And it is something that we should talk about. It should not be ignored. And also, we will bring you the announcements of the things that will take place this week or next week until the end of the year. What are the activities that are going to take place in the community? And by next Saturday, we will not be live, but we will bring you a recorded show because we will be in another event. So I hope you will bear with us. And I think before we kick off, let's just start with the things. I hope, Enoch, we have a busy schedule. It's starting from Monday next week. I think we will be busy throughout, you know, until Christmas, I think. And then we don't know when we are opening the ARCC opening day, but normally it's 1 week day, 1 week off, and then we will come back to work. But Rasada Radio will stay live. It will stay broadcasting our programs. It will not be interrupted. It has nothing to do with the holiday. In fact, it has, you know, it's getting is stronger with those holidays. Yeah, that's all about it.
Yeah. So, as anyone, as someone who's been working for the full year,
you're
going to be holidaying.
Yeah, holidaying.
Weeks, but before that, yeah, we got a lot of things to do, especially in related to the Christmas holiday or the Christmas months.
Hmm.
Yeah, we've got a lot of things to do, like, you know, that are for the benefit in our communities, like educational kind of get together, environmental issues. So yeah, it's going to be like an exciting.
Yeah, ARCC has come out with a community day, community. Events, you know, for the Christmas. I know ARCC is not religious affiliated. We need to watch our language on that, because that's you know, the message of ARCC: watch, mind your language. And then ARCC is minding its language on this. But at least this is the end of the year, you know. Something must be returned to the community, and that's basically how it is. But ARCC communities will have a get-together activities and something to do with education and environment. I think we will be cleaning some streets. Some communities will receive waste management training, and some will have maybe disaster preparation or all of that, you know. Yeah, so... yeah, these are some of the things that will be taking place from next week. And it will start on Wednesday, on the 6th, Wednesday on the 6th next week. We will have a training at YMCA Ban Albert, and it will be the waste management training. There's a lady, a wonderful lady by the name Granada. Granada has been on the front line, you know, telling us about the importance of the waste management, which is good for our environment, you know, how to take care of our environment. And taking care of the environment, it does not, it should not be left to one person. You know, it's a big job for everyone. You know, this is our environment, and we need to make it as clean as it should be, you know. And the training will base on how would you do to manage your the waste. You know, you don't litter around, you don't put things outside, things that should not be supposed to be there. So the way you like your house to be clean, this is how you would take care of the environment. And I think that's a good thing from Granada. That's a Christmas gift for ARCC, offer free training to the communities, which is great. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, when we talk about the environment, it's not simply just cleaning up it, but protecting or just preserving as like, you know, a place where
livable
beings are.
Yeah.
Allowed to live or just deserve to live in. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, especially when we live in a country like New Zealand, where environment is really an issue, and a serious issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need to be aware of all those sort of, like, you know, all those aspects of environment. What does it mean, like, a habitat, like, you know, where you live together with every people, like, you know, everyone around. So how do you keep your environment safe? How do you keep those, like, flora and fauna around you? How do you keep, you know, them alive and livable? Yeah, so
Auckland is a livable city. It's livable and lovable, both. So I think we need to make it very clean. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, yeah. So let's go for a little break, and we will come to our topic for the day. Modern slavery. I don't want even to call it like that. So, yeah, after the break, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
This is Charlie Black also again is a reggae.
Place your hands on your knees. Now, sink in your back. Take a time and look on the man where you are. You ready? Come, come.
Your big bumper on the bike back. Bumper ready for the RR bike back. See the junk on the, you can't ride that. You like that, the bike back. You know you shot up shots on the bike back. Tell a fight over man, you not fight back. Put your hand on me with your spunny bike back. You like that, the bike back. Tell you sexy, you sexy something. Shape like you have chicken pin. Drink a apple fat cup on me bill. You bump up your hat, girl. See the bike back, you come chill. A bike show time, show me your skill. From Alberton to Calvin. You bump up your hat, girl. Time for me, wine for me, wine for me, girl. Time for me, time for me, time for me, girl. Wind up your body in on the bike show like you are entertained party criminal. Shape for me, shape for me, shape for me, girl. Vibrate, vibrate, great for me, girl. When the country boy can't ever go on the road, make sure don't hate for me, girl. Cock up your big bump up on the bike back. Bump up ready for the RR bike back. See the junk on the, you can't ride that. You like that, the bike back. You know you shot up shots, bunny bike back. Tell a fight over, man, you not fight back. Put your hand on me with your bunny bike back. You like that, the bike back. Tell you sexy, you sexy something. Shape like you have chicken pin. Drink a apple fat cup on me bill. You bump up your head, girl. See the bike back, you come chill. A bike show time, show me your skill. From Catado, Butterflower Hill. You bump up your head, girl. Put on your ears, come wine for the wheel. Me ready for defend your life, me ever seal. Team unstoppable, no make fair deals. As of today, me a pay your bills. Gonna pay for your bumper, baby, it's real. You're damn good food, you know, damn meal deal. No lunch, you know, bite, you are that me reveal. Some girl look tough, tough, tough like a steel. Wine for me, wine for me, wine for me, girl. Climb for me, climb for me, climb for me, girl. Wine up your body in on the bike show like you are entertained party criminal. Shape for me, shape for me, shape for me, girl. Time break, great for me, girl. When the country boy can't ever go on the road, make sure don't hate for me, girl.
That phone in the car so you can't make no sound. Econax sound is a Econax sound.
Oh.
That phone in the car so you can't make no sound. Econax sound is a Econax sound. That phone in the car so you can't make no sound. Econax sound is a Econax sound. That phone in the car so you can't make no sound.
That's Charlie Black. Welcome back. Welcome to Dar es Salaam Radio, brought to you by RCC on Planet FM 104.6. We are your host, Godluck Scholl and
Henok Kimisa.
Yeah, Libya.
What,
big day.
What I've been reading about Libya since Muammar Gaddafi was ousted from his 40 years. Throne, I would say, like on power, like so it's a kind of conviction, like, and it's a kind of like controversy, like,
yeah,
as someone who aspires democracy, human rights, equality, progress, development, and we don't want to stick to those leaders in Africa who wish to rule for ages, like, you know, so this is absolutely unacceptable in the 21st century. But at the same time, when we relived of them, like, you know, when they gone, and then the other problem and the other unexpected kind of trauma and devastation will take place. And I think Libya in this case is a perfect example for me. I don't know what is your opinion on that.
Before we go deep into that, I think let's give some highlights about Libya. You know, some facts. I pull out some information from CNN today, and the CNN got those information from from CIA website and very, very good information. This is about the facts of Libya. First, Libya is in Africa. For those who are not aware of it, is a part of North Africa, and is bordering Mediterranean Sea, you know, and then is bordering Egypt, Tunisia, Algeria, Chad, Niger, and Sudan. The population, I think, is about 6.6 million. And they say it's estimated. So, of course, Libya has been in war since 2001 when Gaddafi was deposed. And the capital city is Tripoli, and unemployment rate, 30%. That's also an assumption. It might be more than that, I believe. And the name was changed when Gaddafi came to power. So he changed it to, I think it used to be just Libya, and then he made it to be a Great Socialist People's Libyan Arab Jamhuria. Jamhuria mean republic. I don't know why they have two words, the republic and Jamhuria. So Libya is colonized by three countries, Italy, France, and Great Britain. I never knew that. And yeah, it got independent in December 24th, 1951. It was King Idris that proclaimed that independent, and then, you know, with the Pan-Africanism, you know, So the Libya became independent in 1951. And, yeah, a lot of things went on, and, you know, they in 1981, so that's where there was a problem. And Libya, I think, shoot out. No, it was the U.S. Navy that shot down the Libyan jet in 1981. And then this went on and on, and see, and then came a Lockerbie thing, and it went under sanction by the U.S. and another sanction by the United Nations, and until it came to 2011. When the Libyans say, you know, that's enough. And, you know, when Gaddafi came to power, he had overthrown King Idris. And so he had been in that power for that long. And when it is one-man show, so the community is not it's not all right with that. But, you know, he had an iron fist rule, so he managed to contain the country. In fact, he was very brutal, and that's how he controlled people. He, in fact, went to the village, you know, the radicals. He calmed them down with economic strategy, I can say. He would give them money, $10,000 at the time, and so you would be quiet. You start your own business. This is a loan you would not pay back. This is how he, you know, he made his roots inside Libya. And it's very heartbreaking what is going on now in Libya. We have these people who are unfortunate in their countries, people from West Africa. I think a lot of them are Nigerians, Senegalese, you know, a lot of them from West Africa, I should say. And they don't do it alone. They have networks. So they say, we will take you to Europe. It is all about this migration thing to Europe. That's what it is. And then people take advantage. Bad guys take advantage from that. And that's what's happening. And, yeah, there are agents and guardians, you know, and a lot of money involved. So you will pay a lot of money. They say, we will smuggle you to Libya. And then from there, you will cross to Italy. It's so easy to them, the way they explain. So you are somebody who does not know what is happening. Then you will accept the offer, give them a lot of money. First of all, you might not even reach Libya. Like, some of the news stories are going around, and some of the clips that we watch, some of them even die before even they reach Libya. So that's how it is. And the women, you know, they go to the sexual industry. which is very heartbreaking. So this is what brings Libya to limelight. They have their own civil war. Now they have two groups in Libya. Only one group is recognized by the United Nations, and it has no power over the other part of the country controlled by the other group. So this is why Chris, the American ambassador to the U.S. ambassador who died in, who was killed in Libya, in Benghazi, Chris Stevens. So these are the things, you know, and when Gaddafi died in, when he was killed in 2011, so it was like Libya has no control at all. Now they are saying these people who are involved in modern day slavery are the bad guys who cannot be controlled by the government in power. First of all, what is the government? Who is the government in power that cannot control the bad guys? And why they are not asking for help? No. Things like that.
That's really wonderful. That's good insight for our audience, because, you know, we don't expect that all of our audience, like, you know, all of the people listening to us know about Libya. So it's a nice brief introduction about the country. But I think the most important point we need to raise today is not just touching upon the point that how the country now got independence, or how, like, the country was managed, but what is the problem that brought us to, you know, as to today's, like, you know, these horrific images and videos coming out of Libya's desert. Mm-hmm. So what is, like, the reason, and what are the causes for this very terrifying moments we're having? So as I tried to mention earlier, you know, it's a big controversy, and it's a big discussion that should be conducted between Africans. I'm not saying that, you know, when African problem should be rooted up by Africans, it doesn't mean, like, you know, we don't seek, or African don't seek, you know, suggestions or advice from the outside world. But, you know, Africans should take over their controlling their problems most of the time. When the other hand coming from outside into Africa's politics or African crisis, and then even the crisis would be worsened. So, like, what happened into Libya before this? Like, Libya used to be one of the most prosperous country before.
Yeah,
wasn't the richest country in Africa. It was very, very small.
They have oil. They have oil. I think they're after the Middle East with oil, and because the country produces nothing at all. It also says from this from the fact sheet that, you know, Libya has rainfall every maybe once in a decade, every 10 years. What would you grow once in every 10 years? So, but they have a lot of natural resources. They have oil. Oil is the one that they have a lot. And now we don't even know who is owning the oil. Is it the government or the bad guys? And so a lot of things. Even I saw one guy from his American professor. He says, before we react, let's get facts together. You know, what is Libya, by the way? We need to understand that country before we even react, because this cannot be let go the way it is. You see? It's so crazy.
Yeah, so... you know, when you have that kind of country, like prosperous and developed country, and then you can't rule the country, even if it's developed, even if it's prosperous, you can't rule a country without putting the most important thing for human beings, that is democracy, that is freedom of expression.
Yeah.
So Libyan people have been suppressed by this long time rule by Muammar Gaddafi. Yeah, and who brought in a very nice country, like, you know, prosperity and development to the country. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he suppressed his own people for 40 years. Imagine, for decades.
Yeah.
And then what happened in Libya in 2011 during the Arab Revolution or the Arab Spring? Like, you know, all of the North African countries were shaking at that time, and Libya were the next door after Egypt, and then what happened was what we saw. Like, you know, it was very unexpected and an unprecedented event that took place, and Libyans got the independence, or Libyans got rid of that 40 years fist rule by Muammar Gaddafi. But after that, what happened? A lot of people got weapons. A lot of factions took place and took control of their own regions. And then Libya long used as, like, you know, by Africans, a lot of Africans, not from Africans, from West Africa and the Central African, but from East Africa as well. A lot of Somali men, a lot of Ethiopian, Eritreans, and even Sudanese. Yeah. And went to there as a key transit point to get into Europe. Yeah, so a lot of people using that advantage, like that power vacuum when Gaddafi went, went on, like, you know, a huge power vacuum was created in Libya, and which allowed people to come into Libya and go away by any means, like, without, you know, having that security. Even there was no security checkpoint on most of its ports even. So because of this, a lot of young men from part of Africa were heading to Libya, just aiming to cross by boat on sea and reaching the Italian coasts. So, but then, you know, after 3 years and 4 years, I thought those Libyan farmers who don't have, like, you know, those human labor to plow their landers, that desert landers, so they got advantage of those men, like, accumulated in Libya for 4 years, 5 years even, you know, who don't have access to get into Italian coasts. So they remained in Libya for years. So they want to take advantage of that. And this is a result what we see today as a slave trade or something. It's because there are a lot of religious and ethnic groups that are well armed, you know. They got all weapons there. Like, after Gaddafi, all of the people, almost we can say, like, all of the people in Libya got weapons. And they tried to control their own area. And so there is no rule of law, and there is no security at all in Libya at this time. So it's almost a failed state. So no one can take control of that
because
region.
There are other factors, you know, playing in there. Yeah, this is a very big topic, and we will come back. We will talk about it. Stay tuned and listen to one of his African musician by the name K Deng.
Set you.
I think from South Sudan.
Wangdun Khan. Empire. KEMK. Jaloy that you chama panana, kechang dar mawa. Guru tela puna lang wanga, paye tikya. Toy that they were the kitino, serka dia. Chicken and kawan na me, nigga o jaloy the nya, along kapat, guru bande. I'm a chatia gura, tare do gura, chininka, rulo yu rulo yu, eh, and beben kenende.
that is a musician, Kay Deng from South Sudan. He's a very young boy, by the way.
Yeah.
I think he's in his 19 or 20, 21, I think, something like that.
Beautiful.
And he's singing about telling his girl that I will come back within 5 days, so just stay strong and all of that. I think that's the encouragement we need.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome back. Welcome to the RSL Radio, brought to you by ARCC, live on Planet FM 104.6. I'm your host, Galwaxul and Enoch Grumesa. And we have been talking about Libya. We give you the facts, the background history of Libya. It's one of the greatest countries, actually, in Africa. And it has joined the Pan-Africanism, and it is leader, the former leader of Libya, Colonel Gaddafi. He even fought for the United States of Africa. Now he's gone, and a lot of people say, you know, it was a mistake for him to be taken down.
This is what I say.
Yeah.
Is it a mistake, or is it for the good, or is it for...
Donald Trump already went away ahead of everybody. He said it was a big mistake.
Yeah, at some point, like when because we don't want to see any country in the world that has been going out of rule, like rule of law, and there is no security, there is no one taking care of the security of that country.
Yeah.
So it's complete devastation, and it's a failure, a huge failure.
Yeah.
So when you see like the consequences or the output of Muammar Gaddafi Libya, it's painful. Like it's really heartbreaking. Like
yeah.
All the situation that we are seeing today is a consequence of that untimely or maybe unwise kind of decision that's laid by Britain and France at that time. But at the same time, like we don't give recognition for those leaders who keep their country prosperous but suppressing their peoples. Like, for example, what is happening in Angola is the same.
Yeah.
Like the guy is still a long-serving African president living these days.
Mm.
But, you know, the country is prosperous. And Angola is one of the prosperous countries.
Dos Santos.
Yeah. So we don't recognize these people to stay on power because they are keeping their country prosperous or developed.
Mm.
At the same time, they need to work hard in order to ensure human rule of law, human rights, democracy, and freedom of expression as well. Because it's 21st century. You can't rule a country without just giving the freedom, like the freedom of the people. So you can't shut down it at all. So we are calling for those all African presidents and leaders to put democracy and rule of law and freedom of expression in place ahead of every of their activity or every endeavor they put into their day-to-day activity to make their country developed or prosperous. Yeah.
Hmm. I know this is not the first time for slavery to come on a spotlight. I think it happened first in Mexico. I don't know whether it's Mexico or not, but in South America, and where people are taken for opportunity to work, and then it turned out to be human trafficking. It happened also in Saudi Arabia. Not only is Saudi Arabia, but the parts of the Middle East, including Qatar, Oman, and the rest of those nations in Middle East. You know, even last time, Kenya severe ties with a lot of those countries because they took a lot of Kenyans to work there as maids, and then they turned into slavery. I know one woman revealed a story. She has been enslaved for about 5 years. She went there to work as a maid, and then it was like treated like not a human being, a lesser human being, because she would not eat. Whatever is left to be thrown away would be given to her, and she has no right. She would work like 24/7, you know, no rest at all. And then these people say they want to go to United States because they have a small baby who is disabled on a wheelchair, nobody would take care of her, so she would help in that. And then they say, let's go to the United States together. And then she was given a passport. On arrival on JFK, very smart lady, and then she cried and she caused drama, and then the police came, and then she said, I'm a slave. You know, and immediately U.S. jumped in and rescued her. You know, it's tourists like that, if they don't come out, you know, the world would not know. You know, I'm glad for CNN, you know, to sneak in and film that that groundbreaking thing and brought it out. It was really very, very powerful, because not a lot of people would know. But now the question is, what can other nations do, actually?
That's a million-dollar question, to be honest. Yeah. It's very a big, like, you know, difficult question to answer at this time. But personally, I believe the African leaders of the African states should take the first state.
The Special African Union.
Yes, the African Union. Mm. Or every state of Africa should take the first step into the crisis. Like, as I told you, or as I mentioned earlier, African problem should be treated by Africans. I believe that, you know, it's not because Africa, like any region, just go to any region, like whether it's Asia or Europe, like, you know, because, you know, the problem is indigenous or local, and the solution should be coming out of the local effort. So what I believe is the African leaders should take responsibility in this crisis. It's not, we don't put the blame on Libyan people, actually. I read, you know, some very touching comments, or just very disturbing comments from all our Libyan people. So it's not about the people. Like, Libyan people are not doing this. This is done by some ruthless people who don't have that 21st century kind
it's
of mentality.
Just like the case of ISIS, where they do it on the name of the Islam, and there are innocent people in there, but the name, you know, is spoiled by some radicalists.
Yes, it's a kind of barbaric deed. Yeah. It's just a kind of barbaric thing happening in there. So it's not about the people. So Libyan people are not just red-handed, or are not just part of this crisis. They're not doing these things. But so those people, like, you know, who don't accept humanity, or who don't want to help people, or who really want to mess up all of the things, you know, taking advantage of all those migrants, you know, going to Libya. So they do it, and they're doing it. And so the first initiative should come from African leaders. And I read that already Nigeria took more than 15,000 of its migrants, people out of Libya. That's really good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's
really
a good
encouraging
step.
And Rwanda is also trying to accept more than 30,000 migrants from Libyan shores. That's really promising. That really should be applauded. And also Senegal, I think, that the country, Senegal is also doing something great to help those people at risk. So this kind of activity should be done in a very smart way, in a very tactical way, so that you can reduce, or either you can dismantle all those problems or problem creators there, like, you know, all those networks there.
It is actually like going down to the part of Libya that is saying is the government controlling some parts of Libya. There's no some sort of cooperation that it should show to the rest of the African nation that, you know, this is what is happening, and it's happening in this part of the country. I think it should, because if they claim to be the government, like the rest of the world sees them to be, they should tell us, actually pinpointing where the atrocities are being committed, not under their own hands, but on the hands of the bad guys. I think there should be some sort of cooperation between the people of Libya through that government and the rest of the African nations. Because even if you want to go and rescue, where would you start? This is the land, you have never been there, you don't know the geography, you don't know the people, you don't know the language, you don't know the culture, you have never been there. You see? At least there should be some sort of cooperation between the government of Libya in power. I have seen Kenyan today, I think they will table a motion in parliament. I think they will make some rescue missions too soon. I know the hunger is so wide, and people are calling African Union to send forces to Libya, and even suspending Libya from African Union. You know, I know there are a lot of innocent Libyans there, but like in any country, if bad guys act, so the victims will be the innocent people that have nothing to do with that history at all. And that's what is happening in Libya. You know, very heartbreaking.
And additionally, we'd like to appreciate, you know, those international media that's covering this. Like, I read that the Time wrote a very nice article on that, CNN, Al Jazeera. So that is the kind of activity that you need to have at this time, this critical time, so that the international community will intervene and will step in into the crisis, and hopefully we'll see things progressed and improved.
Yeah, a very interesting topic. We will come back and let's play a little bit of the music, and we will come back to you. Stay tuned.
Sorry, I'm about to sit up. Can't go garnish, no, see.
Welcome back. This is a song from Ethiopia. By the way, I think the artist is Amsal Mehdi.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the guy. That's the man. Yep. Welcome back to Rosetta Radio, brought to you live by RCC on Planet F 104.6. And we have been bringing it to you live. And I'm Gadluak and Enoch Gurmesa. We have been talking about Libya. If you miss it, a lot of things are going on now in Libya. Slavery. Other people call it modern slavery, and other voices say it has no different with the previous slavery. And people are sold in auction like animals. You know, if you are a strong man, so your life is $400. If you are a young man, maybe a teen, you know, you will be $150. So this is what is happening in Libya now. Very horrible. Very horrible. It's different from the rest of histories of human trafficking. Actually, Libya has taken a different turn. And to those of you who do not know, Libya is in North Africa. It's one of the fourth largest countries in Africa, I think, after Sudan. The first one is Algeria, and then Democratic Republic of Congo, and then Sudan. Sudan used to be the first one because they break it up into two. None of our faults, but the fault of politicians. Now it's the third one. So Libya, after Sudan, the fourth country in Africa. You know, and these horrible things are happening there right now as we speak. We don't even know the population, but the statistics say they are in thousands already in detention centers. Nobody knows until CNN went there and, you know, brought a recorded video, and the world like in flames. Yeah, these are the horrible things.
Yeah, so despite those unfolding events going on in Libya, I think things are a lot of people, especially as I mentioned you, that some governments in Africa, the Nigerian government, Rwandan government, French government as well, Emmanuel Macron, who is attending the summit about this crisis in Ivory Coast. In Abidjan. They are addressing this problem, and I think a lot of individuals in different parts of the world are also calling for an international community intervention. So what I know is just in Auckland, like, we got a lot of communities, and I think a kind of activity is going to be carried out soon by some of the community members. I don't know. But I know that some individuals are already taking initiative to have parade maybe in Auckland, Central Auckland District, I don't know, or maybe going to Wellington to the parliament instead of alarming them about all these cases and this situation and to react like toward this crisis.
And this is not about Africa per se. This is humanity. You know, it doesn't matter where you are from any part of the world. This is a call. This is a right call for humanity. You know, you can stand with behind a human being being denied the right to live as a human being. This is what is happening. I also read that French president is proposing to the United Nations maybe this week, I mean next week, I think a very serious sanction against the government of Libya. And I, from all this, when the history came about, I have never heard the voice of the Libyan government, you know, condemning it or accepting the atrocity. I don't know. I don't know why the government is so quiet. And this is what is disturbing a lot of people, you know, because silent would mean agreement, right? And the government is quiet so far.
Yeah, but we don't have to forget that this government is no more in charge of Libya, the whole Libya. This government is limited into Tripoli, like in the capital. So they don't have even that potential or they don't have that access, you know, to all region or part of Libya. And those atrocities are taking place
in
the other part of Libya, is maybe north eastern part of Libya, that closer to those Italian shows.
Italian shows.
Even what I've read in Time article, that the government will awaken of these atrocities like us, like somebody else, like an outsider. So this government is no more than powerful and capable of dealing with this issue. That's why they've been calling for international community to intervene.
I know one professor from Middle Tennessee University. I used to go there to that university in Tennessee, very good university. And this professor is talking so much about this incident in Libya, and is telling people, warning people to watch out for what you're going to buy. It might come from a country that has, you know, benefited from this barbaric act. He has been warning people to, especially on cell phones. This is the one of the devices that can be easily made by the power from his lever. And I have not heard any another call except that professor. And I think this is a very good bell to ring, because you never know what is the intention of, you know, buying slaves in 2017. People are going to 2018. This is not 18th century, where the slavery was the norm of the day, and this is a different environment, a different world. And I don't know. I hope the leaders of the world, not only the African leaders, but the leaders of the world, especially the superpower, should act. Immediately.
But still, the African leaders are the ones to spotlight.
Yeah, should take the lead.
Of those migrants leaving their countries and going to Libya, where they would be persecuted or they'd be at risk because, you know, they have a problem in their own country.
Especially the countries bordering Libya, countries like Chad, like Niger, you know, like Egypt. I think they should act immediately. You know, they should not wait for the rest of the African countries to act.
Anyway, as ARSCC, is a community-based organization and advocating humanity, equality, a value of being a human is treated as everywhere else. So, that's why we brought you this very important topic today to discuss, and we wish if we could have heard your voices on this topic, but hopefully we can deal with it soon as well, because, you know, this thing is not going to be interrupted or going to be done anytime soon, so because it needs a lot of effort to deal with. So we'll see now how the future is going to be.
ARCC pick up this topic to talk about it, because, you know, we are the voice of the community, and this is part of it. We are the community, And since AICC is made up of 18 different communities from different countries, some of our relatives might be in those people too, in that group. You never know, because we don't see names there. So this is injustice to humanity, and we should not keep quiet about it. That's why you can come out, and if you are hearing us, you can approach your MP, you know, local MP, and talk about it. You know, something can be done. It should not be left like that. This is a case of humanity. Human being is allowed, has a right, you know, to a better life, you know, to a life. Yeah. So, that comes to the end of our program. And until next week, we will come to you with a recorded show. We will be live the week after. Yeah. And enjoy.
So don't forget to come to all those activities that will be taking place in the coming Christmas weeks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep, we have a lot of activities going on starting next week on Wednesday. Man Albert, if you don't know how to get in touch with some of with the people organizing it from ARCC, you just call ARCC at 846-0110. Enjoy.
Joyce.
Enjoy the week.
Time.
See you next time. This is Alyssa Keys.
She's just a girl and she's on fire.
Just a girl on fire.
Hotter than a fantasy. Lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Filled with catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away. Oh, she got 4 feet on the ground and she's burning it down. Oh, she got
close our show for this week.
Take care until next Saturday, same time, 10 to 5, on Planet FM 104.6.
And on the web, www.plantaudio.org.nz/reset.